Every day is upside down in Soundy Land. Hi and welcome to the Soundy Land show where everybody's upside down. And today I'm here with an awesome guy. I've been following him for a while. Nevin, unfortunately I cannot pronounce his last name. It's too complicated.
It's Gerencsi.
Gerencsi.
Yeah.
That's it. It's okay.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, I'm still here in Portugal at INAC. And he's a, I would say, fresh student here.
Yeah.
And I find his story particularly interesting because once, his progress is super fast. He just started like 3 years ago. And second point is that he made the transition to change his whole life and go to circus school. So I specifically want to ask you about that.
About
how did you get into hand balance and how did you make the decision to change your whole life?
Okay, so basically with hand balance, I always wanted to do it. I remember when I was in the high school and all the cool kids were doing handstands and I was really trying to do it and I just couldn't do it. It was something not naturally gifted to me.
Oh, okay, so you did have a little bit of experience before.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, like kids in high school trying, and I had my best friend like willing to help me, you know, giving me tips and stuff, and I was doing handstands, really trying handstands like every day, but without any guidance, you know, I didn't have any knowledge. And I was trying it every day, and obviously I didn't do it, like even in the high school. So I really didn't do it. After three months or so, I gave up. So, and after that, I started doing parkour. It really helped me because, for example, the parkour that I got into was more like a discipline, and the community was really important for me. It helped me a lot to grow. Because like since I was 16, I started going from Croatia to Serbia, met a lot of good friends and learned a lot about discipline. Like discipline, for example, like now I don't find it so good, but when we were training, we were doing like 1,000 repetitions of same jump.
Wow.
You know, so for example, if you get the same jump at a height, you're not afraid. And this, it's not just about this, but we also had a lot of mental challenges, had a lot of plays, but it was like never, you know, like never give up, you need to do it, you need to find a way. So, and also like regarding like life itself, it also helped me because the parkour community really taught me like how to share, you know, how to make similar experiences, how to share life. Because if you are in parkour community and you don't have a place to sleep, you just contact somebody, hey man, like even if you don't know him, your friends know him. And like, hey man, can I crash at your place? You know, like I'm coming here, you know. It's like basically free Airbnb, but you get to meet real people. And we were doing it a lot more before, like couchsurfing was popular and stuff. And yeah, this really helped me, you know.
Kind of like our hand balance.
Yeah, it's, don't you find it ridiculous? Like something like hand balance or something like parkour, like in the essence, I find it meaningless. You know, like handstands, you can't, you know, it's just handstands.
Yeah,
like, let's
you're
be honest.
Not improving the world,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Changing the environment.
But
like
that's what is beautiful, because people connect so much
about
just handstands. It's crazy, you know, like you get to connect about something that I'm just saying it because it's like ridiculous when you look at it.
Yeah.
Like you're traveling all over the world because of handstands and it's super beautiful. Like small things like this, which we share as humans, can make us connect and create a community.
Absolutely. I agree.
It's really beautiful.
And also can make you change your whole life, obviously.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Yeah. Basically I was doing a lot of years parkour. I was in that a lot, and then I started to hang out a lot on Gymnastic Bodies forum, stretch therapy and stuff like that. But my first video of a hand balancer was Andre Moraro on YouTube. It's called Freeman, you know the video?
I know it. I've seen it
and
like a million
really
times.
Like when I was in parkour, I was trying to do handstands. I couldn't do it.
For me,
it was really, really hard, and I'm saying this now from already a stubborn perspective, because I was telling you, like, I did thousands of repetitions of something. I had the same approach with handstands. I couldn't do handstand. Really, I needed like a guide. And basically, after I saw the Henry Moraro Free Man, like the video, I was again like super inspired, really. And I just wanted to investigate more about handstands. So I started hanging out a bit with Nesting Bodies forms. I even started doing the foundation, but later I really found it's bad. I don't know if I can say this.
You know, yes, you can say it openly.
Yeah, but I don't want to be like, but yeah, like for me it was bad.
I had a similar experience with gymnastic bodies.
Yeah, at the same time I also started my university at kinesiology. And I started learning more and more about the whole like movement thing, you know, and the real thing, you know, like the real approaches to handstands and stuff, because Mikael Christiansen was a lot active on the forums. He started to write a lot of stuff about hand balance, which you couldn't find before on the internet.
Yeah.
So he was the first one popping, you know, and it was Yuri as well. But on gymnastic bodies, he was called the hand balancer.
Yeah.
And he started putting a lot of materials. So basically I started doing stuff on my own. I also started reading a lot. And when I was at university, I had a really bad situation in my family. Basically, when I was in university, my brother got into psychosis. And it was huge stress for me emotionally. And in my head also, I couldn't function because I was also the person who found him in this state. Nobody realized this. Like, one day I went on a trip to visit my brother. And the moment I visit my brother, I see like, oh, this guy is fucked up. And yeah, he was crazy, you know. And why I'm laughing now, because it all ended up good. But the moment I saw him, like I noticed like I lost my brother. I really felt like that. It's like one day you have a person and next day you still have the person. So it's not like the person died, but the person did die, you know, like his whole personality just flipped around. And for me, this was like a huge impact on me personally. I couldn't focus on anything. I also got into a huge depression. But when I say depression, I don't mean like, you know, like stupid depression. I was really like even diagnosed by depression. I got the pills and everything, blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to take them. I told them, like, my psychiatrist, I'm not going to take this stuff. I want to learn how to function with myself properly and how to deal with all of this, you know.
Yeah.
But I ended up in such a bad state that I developed a phobia from people. So now I'm sitting and talking to you. I couldn't watch other people's faces.
Oh,
I couldn't go out, really. It was a paralyzed situation. So, for example, I needed to quit college because I couldn't be in a room with so much people. It was really insane. I got fucked up, really. Like, and I thought the process would really like never change. And the only thing, this can be like dramatic, but this is real truth, because the only time like when I could be myself was when I was doing handstands.
Yeah.
And now when I understand it, it's because it's body-mind, you know, body-mind training.
Yeah.
When you are doing something like handstands or like you're learning juggling or something, as basically if you're doing a task that needs a lot of attention from the brain, you cannot focus on other stuff around you.
Yeah.
You really need to be there. And basically I was started to be obsessed about handstands.
Mm.
I started to be obsessed about handstands because I wanted to learn how to do a handstand, obviously. But also it was a peace of mind for me. It was a state of calmness.
Yeah.
Which I could get into like every day. And basically like every day for 2 hours, I was on my hands doing a lot of stuff with the wall and everything, but it helped me a lot. And like after 1 year or something like that, this whole, you know, situation got clear, you know, I got to be myself again.
Wow.
But yeah, it was like, it was a really hard process because I was really trying, you know, it's not like I was running away from people.
Yeah.
I was really trying to be out with the people and to look at them and even talk to them, but my mind was completely somewhere else. So basically I started going into the same state which I had every day when I arrived home and I see my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like for example him, he was really really in a bad state. When I say bad state, like he was taking like 12 pills a day. This guy couldn't sleep normally. Like every day I would wake up at 4 a.m. just to run for him so he doesn't commit suicide. It was really, really bad.
Wow.
And after all of that, like when he was continuously dropping with the medications and stuff, basically he went from psychosis to really bad depression, because he then realized like what he did for the family or blah, 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 but then he was blaming himself. But like the process stopped, you know, and I was super happy to have my brother back again, because when you see somebody like that, it's like you see somebody with schizophrenia, but it's not schizophrenia. So you don't actually believe the person is going to get back. So it has a lot of impact on your life, you know. For me, it completely demolished me, even if I was really young, you know. I just started college and everything. And I needed to quit, I needed to find work, because I needed to get money for myself to survive. So basically, yeah, I started doing handstands, but...
Wait, the light just went out. Okay. Can you see us? Okay, we had to improvise now. The lights just went out and we don't have any other place to go. It's freezing cold outside.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how you had to find work, and I'm wondering how you switched to the decision to become a circus performer professionally, or was that even your idea?
I'm still not a circus performer professionally.
But you're working towards it, aren't you?
Maybe.
Okay.
After all of that, like, and I really worked like a lot of shitty jobs and everything, but I started to get better and better in handstands, and I wanted to invest going to Yuval Island workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 3 years ago. We were looking for it, actually.
Yeah.
Before the interview, when was it? But yeah. And when I arrived to Yuval workshop, I clearly remember like my feelings and emotions the moment I saw a guy who is like, sorry, well, but you were like 37 or something like that. Yeah? No?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Okay. But basically, you see a guy who is not that young, and you see him doing a one-arm press, going into full positions and stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
For me, that was just insane. Like, obviously, I never saw a hand balancer in person. Like, I always watch videos. And then I see Yuval, who is like, beast, you know, and that I think that moment completely changed me. Then I was like, at the workshop, I already said it, I want to be a hand balancer. But at the workshop, I could do 30 second handstand, but it was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, you all corrected my form, like, he told me, like, this is bad, you know, because I was planching, I was trying to be hollow. But basically, already then, like 2 years ago, I noticed, like, this is something I really like, you know. This is the thing that helps me as a person, you know. I like this type of physical practice.
Yeah.
It's super interesting for me. It's like another world. And after that, I just kept on working like shitty jobs and the hand balance aside.
Mm-hmm.
And even got to a point, a lot of times actually, got to a point where I was working more than 12 hours and I would come home. And I still didn't have a gym to train, like in Croatia. I really remember I have my staircase in one park in Croatia. I would always train there. And after like 13, 14 hour shift, I would go back home and I would train for 3 hours.
Oh,
and I would repeat the same process, and it usually lasted for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And I was really doing, I was super obsessed. It was just something I love, you know.
Yeah.
Like if everything else is shit, you know.
With
like
the same mentality,
yeah,
of doing 1,000 reps.
Yeah, I'm going to do, you know, like 3 hours of handstands. Like I'm going to get it. Like I like this. And I kept on doing it, and then after some time, while I was applying Yuval, like tools and stuff, I noticed I got to a point where, okay, I need another teacher, you know.
Yeah.
I need somebody who will show me how to progress more, because I was starting to get like to fingertips, you know, like to 3-finger assisted, but I couldn't get to 1 arm. It was like after 1 year, so I think 2 years ago, basically I contacted Mikael.
Yeah.
Because he started online coaching, and I was one of his first students when he started. And basically, I completely fell in love with this guy, because this guy is super friendly.
Yeah.
The way he was teaching at the beginning is something that I really understand. For example, when he started online coaching, sorry, Mikael, but you weren't organized, you know? But this guy still kept on replying on every message, on every call. This guy, we had like 1,000 messages like in a really short period of time. It was insane. This guy really wanted to help me. And first of all, like, I fell in love with his approach, because his approach wasn't okay, this needs to be straight, this needs to be like this, this needs to be like this, Mikael isn't like this.
He's
this
very
is what he told
minded.
Me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you have a body like this, and you need to learn how to balance with your body like this.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, everything that sums up to is like Mikael was telling me, like, just the time you accumulate being on your hands, and that's it. Like, you can do thousands of exercises and everything, but in the end you're just standing on your one arm assisted, you know, like, you're doing the work. So it was a really important thing for me to learn, because before that I was really obsessed with the straight line and everything, and then Mikael comes and shows me a different approach, you know, different approach, because he used to be bimbo as well. And when I started, I couldn't touch my toes, you know, like, I couldn't squat. I was really super inflexible, so I needed to change all of that. Actually, even Emmett Lewis helped me, like I was telling you before the interview, because even before he started doing online coaching, he was really active on stretch therapy forms.
Yeah.
He helped me a lot with my pancake work, ballistic stretching to get the head to toe and everything. But basically, what these two guys helped me is they taught me how to train my body by myself, you know. They gave me the tools,
and
they explained how to use the tools, you know, and why do the tools work. So basically, I already had a lot of knowledge in me, passed by them, and I started doing more and more stuff by myself. And 1 year before this, it was the beginning of 2018. Okay, so let's kick back a little bit, because I started talking already ahead of myself. Well, in the process, I was searching for like shitty jobs and everything to survive. I started to work in one bar in my neighborhood, and this is really funny, because I was working like in one of the shittiest bars ever, but I had a coffee machine. And the same way I got hooked to handstands, I got hooked to latte art. So really, like, even before I got into specialty coffee scene, I was in a shitty bar on a shitty coffee machine trying to do latte art. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it was a trend back there or something, but I got super obsessed by latte art.
Yeah.
But this thing also helped me push forward, because I never wanted to be in this state, like working in a shitty bar, you know, like trying to survive, and I really don't want to do this. I don't want to keep surviving with my life. And basically, I got pretty good at it. And then I applied to one of the Croatian most famous coffee roasteries. It's called Cogito. And I went there with super high expectations, but it was still really good, because they gave me opportunity to see like specialty coffee scene, you know, to become a barista and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really bloody work, you know, really. When I look at it, I gave a lot and I didn't gain much. Actually, in the end, I also felt like I was being used, because I have this motivation inside of me. So basically, I really have huge goals, you know.
Okay.
And people, if you meet the wrong people, they can abuse this.
Yeah.
You know, they can really abuse this, especially like bosses and stuff. But I learned a lesson, and really big important lesson is, it also comes with the handstands and your physical practice, but it also comes in your private life. Basically, if you are doing smart and good work, and if you're not getting enough, then you need to change something. You either need to change your job, or you need to change the way you work, or, but this is not good.
Yeah, you mean if you're not satisfied with it?
No, not satisfied. If you're not getting paid enough or something like that, if you're working too much, if you are, for example, training for handstand, but you don't have the methods and you're training like fucking crazy maniac and you're not getting the handstand, dude, you're doing something wrong. It's not about hard work. It's not about pain, like no pain, no gain. You know, for me, that's the most stupidest quote, because I've been there, really, and I see a lot of people in Croatia believe in this mentality, and they're getting abused all of the time, you know, by their bosses, by everything. Like, people in a relationship suffer from that. People in normal, regular life suffer from that, because people think like, okay, if I work hard, like suddenly something will appear from the sky.
And you think they have to suffer for it, because otherwise they don't.
Yeah. It's super bad way of thinking. And I was in that, but I really, like, I noticed this at the beginning, and this is the thing, like, don't be a victim of false philosophies. Don't be a victim of the age of misinformation.
Yeah.
You know, you really need to check who are you listening to, like, who are you working for, you know? You really need to be aware of everything around you.
And so what is, okay, so what is your mentality?
My mentality?
Yeah.
What do you mean? My mentality would be smart work.
Yeah.
Hard work, but smart work, you know? Like, you give all of yourself, but also, you know, be aware that one day you need to reap the rewards. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. And it's not about money, you know, it's like about people that will appreciate you. Because, for example, when I got out of that roastery, I was like, I'm never going to be in specialty coffee again. Really, even though this, I'm really telling you, this roastery, I don't want to name it. Maybe I named it already, but yeah. Okay, but the thing is, it's super famous at this moment and it's getting across whole Europe. But the way they are thinking and the way they are working, it's not good for me, you know. Maybe for somebody else it's good, but for me that's a false philosophy. I don't want to live or work by that approach. You know, so confidence in yourself and being honest with yourself. Because before, I was trying to fit in, you know. I was trying to be part of it, but it was unhealthy. I'm really telling you, it was unhealthy to work for so much, give up so much of myself. You know, that at one point I couldn't even train because I was really working a lot. Like, I was there day and night doing the papers and everything. It got really crazy. But now, like, I arrived to Porto and I meet this guy. His name is Paolo Gufetz. He used to be owner of Butcher's Coffee in Belgium. The place got an award as the best coffee concept there. This guy totally understands me. This guy is similar like me. This guy is about super hard work, but super smart work, you know. This guy appreciates me more than everything, you know. And this is the thing, I met a person that really believes in me, you know. It's like, yeah, changes. It's like Mauricio with handstands.
Yeah.
Me and Mauricio really share a similar story. We both come from countries that doesn't have hand balancers.
Yeah.
So in Croatia, you don't have any other hand balancer. Hand balancing doesn't exist. So I was doing a thing for a lot of years, you know, before I arrived here, all by myself. And it's a weird situation to be in because all of the people around you don't understand you. It's like you're a misfit, you know. It's really bad.
Yeah, it's about, I know. I was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because in Vienna there was,
but
I didn't know of anything.
But then you come out of it, you know. You come out of this hole and you come out of these philosophies, this change, you know. And you meet so much people that are actually understand you. And then once I realized, like, everybody is different. It's just that in some places people don't accept this, you know. And in other places, people appreciate you. Like, your crazy ideas could be really appreciated.
Yeah.
And this gave me a lot of confidence, you know, about myself. This was like, man, you have fucking good ideas, you know. Like, your way of thinking is good, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's really good. And I was actually trapped in a country that, like, really trapped in country because, like, the way of surviving life is really the way of life there. And I just couldn't fit in. Really, I felt bad if I do any other job, you know, if I go to this place trying to talk to these people, like, I couldn't fit in. Yeah. I really had this problem, you know, I felt so lonely. It was crazy, but it also, like, toughened me up because I was aware of this. I was already aware of this, like, this is because I'm here.
So did you decide to make
I wanted
to look for circus schools actively?
Yeah, I was actually, I really wanted to go to do hand balancing.
Yeah.
Because, but I was also, like, you need to understand, while I was looking to go out, I was really in a bad state, like, regarding other parts of my life.
Yeah.
I was still surviving. I was surviving with a smile on my face, but I was doing it, you know. But I was aware, okay, if I have a chance to pursue something that I love, like, why not do it? And then I come out, like, to Porto, and I again get into specialty coffee.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, like, super different world.
Yeah.
And I have topics with other people that are not in my parts of life, you know, but I really like it, you know. And there's so much things I like,
yeah,
you know, because I'm not in this trapped zone. And then I see so much possibilities. Yeah. So now I would say, like, hand balance helped me to develop my life, you know. It's not about, like, you're becoming a circus performer. It's just that hand balance for somebody, it can be somebody else, but hand balance was for me something that helped me to manage to go out of the place where I didn't want to be. No, it managed
so
to
relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, it's really, really important, no? And that's why I say, you know, like, hand balance are meaningless in the end.
Yeah,
I mean, they are not, you know.
But it's such a big thing.
But it's a part of me. For example, I'm fully sure that I will be doing hand balance for the rest of my life because it's not even emotional anymore.
Yeah.
I don't have to be motivated. It's the same way I eat breakfast every day. I will do hand balance every day. It's
part of you.
Yeah, it became a part of me because I was doing it already for so much. I mean, 3 years for me, it's not so much.
Yeah.
But the moment I'm saying this, I know that I'm going to be stuck in this hand balance thing forever, you know, because after 10 years, I will say, oh, it passed so quickly, you know, it's 10 years.
So how has the circus school, how is the training?
So actually, I was thinking about going to Doha or Inak, but Inak had open applications.
Mm-hmm.
And because of Mauricio, actually, he's the person that helped me come here, because Mauricio was also one of these people that helped me, like, man, you need to go out of your country, you know.
Yeah.
And he did the same. He was in Costa Rica. He was a hand balancer, you know. And but these guys are the best in the world, right?
Yeah.
So imagine this.
I think he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, he does. It's just the thing. Like, this is my, like, I give props to Mauricio. I give him a medal because Mauricio taught me something really important, not just about handstands. He taught me something really important about life. This guy is smiling to everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody ever saw Mauricio, and that's, I think, why Mauricio is famous in the community, because nobody ever saw Mauricio angry. I didn't see this guy angry. Actually, I did, but he still doesn't project it. He's not, you know, like, he's super generous, super humble, and that's what I think it's really, really important, you know. Nothing else matters. If you can connect with the people, you can do everything. And that's, like, for example, Mauricio helped me a lot to come here, you know.
So was it your aim to work with him?
Yeah, actually. I've always wanted a teacher, now I have it, and this is really good. But also about, like, for example, everybody who wants to go into circus needs to be aware of one thing. A lot of things you will need to do because it's a school, even if you like it or you don't like it, you know. Even if you find them that they are meaningless, you still need to do it. It's a school.
Yeah, I actually want to talk to you more about the way training works in a circus school versus if you train alone, because I think there are a lot of people out there.
Do you want to know about handstands or about...
For hand balancers. So if I want to be a hand balancer professionally and I am looking for circus schools.
Okay, so for example, you need to be aware how much classes will you get. Know in a school, and I really think it's the most important thing, who is your teacher. For example, like, Mauricio is a really good teacher, there is no doubts in that. Like, that's really, like, the thing that keeps me
here.
And regarding handstands, if you want to be a hand balancer, it's good, but it's also a thing, like, if you're in circus school, you're learning about circus, you're learning how to perform, so it's not anymore about the cool tricks, you know, like the things that you are training, like, at home.
Yeah.
You know, like, you want to do, I don't know, one arm. In a circus, you need to learn how to present it.
Yeah.
And for me, that's also something new. And I'm, like, in the debate, do I really want to do this, or I just want to do handstand as my craft, you know, and keep it for myself.
Yeah.
And I don't, personally, I don't find anything bad with that. But there is also one thing that Mauricio told me, because we had this topic, and this is something I learned, and actually something I knew, I just wasn't thinking about it this way. But if you never perform, and you don't experience this, how can you be sure, like, that you don't
that
want
you
this?
Don't want it. Yeah.
So it's a tricky question, you know. It's something that I'm still discovering, but that's why I'm not acting on my based on my emotions. I'm just giving it time, you know, to see what happens. And actually, I'm in the process of creating right now something, just to experience it, you know, just to feel something.
Cool.
But for handstands, I think it's much better than to be at home, because you have a teacher who is, like, 10 times better than you, went through the whole process. If you want to learn, teach handstands, you need to go through the process, because you get to know all of the sensations, you know. When you see somebody, you can already project it in yourself and feel it, what this person is doing wrong. So basically, you have a teacher who can constantly point out your mistakes, and you don't learn how to do something in a bad way and then you need to fix it. You are constantly learning something in a good way. So, like,
what is it like with the load? Because you don't only have
hand
balance
workload
classes.
Well, actually, you saw my work today. I think today I was...
But I just want to tell everybody else so they have an idea of what you're actually doing. So you have acrobatics, you have contemporary dance, you have ballet, you have trampoline, you have... what else do you have?
Have circus laboratory.
Circus
actually
laboratory and, like,
I don't know. I really interpretation.
Interpretation.
And I think we forgot something. But
So it's a lot of
So differently to be realistic. If you don't have your specialization, which happened to me like at the beginning of these 3 months before, basically it's really hard to do handstands because you're going to be demolished. You're going to be really demolished. Like I was managing to do it, but then I got injured, I think, because of that, because I was trying to do something and my workload was already completely high. But for example, today I had a contemporary dance, 3 hours. Then we had a break, then I had acrobatics for 1.5 hours, and then I had ballet for 1.5 hours. Then we did stretching, and then I went to train 3 more hours handstand or 2 more hours, because I actually stopped because it was a bad day, but I'm managing to do it, you know, like, but it's hard.
Yeah,
it's not
but
easy.
I can see, yeah, maybe let's talk about this.
I think actually, if you keep doing handstands at home and you have a teacher, not going to circus school, I actually think it can be better because
it can be more efficient,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, because you can focus only on handstand, but
yeah,
that doesn't mean you can perform, you know,
yeah,
because you get a lot from dance, you know, and from theater and from everything. It's just that your brain gets really, really tired. You get, you know, like, for example, I go to sleep at 9 p.m. now and I wake up at 8 because I'm completely demolished and it's this full week. But yeah, I think people, if you like love handstands, but you don't want to be a performer, don't go to circus school.
Yeah.
Maybe rather take lessons or stuff like that. But I think it's really, really cool experience to still go to circus school. That doesn't mean you need to finish it, like nobody's chaining it to you. But I really like it, you know.
What if you want to become a hand balance teacher? Do you think you should even aim for that? Is that even a thing you should consider?
I think, actually, I did a few workshops by myself and I really liked it. I don't think you need to go to circus school for sure. Like, you don't need to go to circus school. You just need to do lots and lots of handstands. But also, like, if you want to be a handstand teacher for circus, I think it's better if you have circus experience. Because then you can help somebody with more artistic, like, exploration and stuff.
Although Mao doesn't have circus school.
I don't want to say this here, but Mao will also agree that he's in the process of learning it more and more. Yeah. So,
which I also think makes him a good teacher because he's super open.
Yeah, he's open, you know, it's a normal thing. But yeah, I think this is the thing. Like, I don't find anything bad if somebody is just doing handstand and doesn't want to be a circus performer.
Yeah.
For me, that's really beautiful, you know.
Thank you so much for being
welcome
on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you for telling us your story. And I hope that a lot of people out there gain some insight also what it's like to be in a circus school and if it's a good decision for them.
Yeah.
And
I think it's really personal, you know.
Yeah.
But it can also be cool, like, if you're good at something, why not pursue it? Maybe it takes you to a better place.
Yeah, if you want
place.
It, then just definitely do it and don't think about it too
and
much.
Actually, it's always cool when you meet, like, normal people and they ask you, like, okay, what are you doing? Like, what are your hobbies? I'm a hand balancer. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, cool. So, thank you. I think we're going to go
thank
eat
you.
Sushi now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for watching. And the world is your playground, so just go ahead and do whatever you love. And I'll see you next Monday on the Sonja Lab Show.